Breaking news, a four-year-old rescued after falling nearly 15 feet into a storm drain in Fayetteville.
A miserable, chilly rain means tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day. What to expect if you're traveling or staying here at home, and when we'll all be in the clear.
The family of a Durham man murdered almost 10 years ago is still waiting for justice. We'll show you the reason behind the latest push to solve this murder case.
We are tracking a winter weather advisory for this weekend, with tomorrow already being named a WRAL weather alert day. Good evening. Thanks for joining me. I'm Ashley Rowe. And taking a look at the system heading our way, while areas to our north could see freezing rain, the triangle will mostly see cold, steady rain throughout the day. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat, how's it looking?
Well, I want to be very clear. For most of us, this is just a rain event, but there is a winter weather advisory in effect in purple for parts of western North Carolina, and that includes two counties in our viewing area: Person County, including Roxborough, and Mecklenburg County, which is up in Virginia, and that includes South Hill. That's where there could be a brief window of freezing rain. The winter weather advisory expires at 9 a.m. After that, everybody is above freezing, and it's just chilly rain for the remainder of the day. Our cold air source, this high pressure system, it's moving offshore, and then we've got the moisture along with milder temperatures coming in with this system to our southwest. Let's take a look at the temperatures and the precipitation. At 5 a.m., temperatures hovering awfully close to freezing, right around freezing at Roxborough, but we're above freezing here in the triangle. As we move ahead in time a little bit closer to 7 o'clock, still near freezing in Roxborough and staying that way. But after 9 a.m., everybody is above freezing. We stay above freezing all morning in the triangle and for the rest of the viewing area. So we're really going to see limited impacts from anything wintry up in our northern counties. It's really just going to be the rain that impacts your Saturday. If you have any outdoor plans, move them inside. We'll see quite a bit of rain move through. But we begin to dry out by tomorrow evening between about 3 and 5 o'clock. The rain should begin to taper off. We've got another even more potent system on the way, and I'm tracking that one coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you. Even though we're not really going to see a lot of wintry weather, DOT crews were out today spreading brine on the roads ahead of tomorrow's precipitation, just as a precaution. WRAL's Aaron Thomas is live tonight with a look at which roads they were able to treat today, Aaron.
Yeah, actually, we're talking about several roads, a lot of the roads that are well traveled by drivers. If any drivers happen to be out and about like they are here on I-40, they will notice some of the brine, as you mentioned, specifically on some of our ramps and bridges. Now, we often think of brine as a pretreatment to ease the clearing of roads during a snowstorm. And while there's no freezing rain or snow in the triangle forecast, the use of brine is a precaution based on forecast model. Now, Sky 5 did see brine trucks treating the roads like I-440 near Wade Avenue. Other areas include the I-85 corridor. That's a road that's expected to see the most precipitation this weekend. Conditions look fine right now at this hour, but we all know that weather can change quickly. Brining the roads, according to DOT, is a way to stay ahead of any anticipated winter weather. Here are some of the areas that brine trucks are focusing their attention.
We are spraying all of our high flyovers, the tall superstructures that go over, fly over top of 40, 87, US 70, etc.
And we are back out here live on Interstate 40 eastbound approaching Wade Avenue. You can see right in this right lane that the WRAL storm tracker is driving in. We can actively see the brine on the roads. Of course, we'll be following and monitoring the roads throughout the night. I'll be back on our late news hearing from drivers as they prepare for some of the rainfall. Ashley?
Okay, Aaron, we'll talk to you later tonight. Duke Energy is apologizing for a message sent out to thousands of customers, leaving many people thinking there could be rolling blackouts due to cold temperatures. It read, "We expect energy use to be high. Please take steps to minimize power between 6 to 9 a.m. Duke Energy says it was a notification to be part of an educational program called My Home Energy Report, not really driven by any need for customers to actually conserve energy. Duke Energy spokesperson Jeff Brooks says the power giant is sorry for misleading communication, saying it was meant as a helpful tip to save energy.
The intent is noble. It's to try to help customers take control of their energy use. Unfortunately, the wording of the messaging was confusing and led customers to think it was more about a reliability issue.
Duke says there are no issues with the power grid. In fact, they say it's been improved since the rolling blackouts that occurred during Christmas of 2022.
I'm Willie Danily in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. I'm standing here in a field right off of Bunce Road. This is the drain that the little boy fell in right back there. Take a look at this. This is a closer look at the drain. According to the Fayetteville Fire Department, when firefighters arrived here, they found a 4 to 5 year old little boy stuck 15 feet below ground in a storm water drain. Crews on scene were able to get into that confined space and get the child out by 5:15. He was in there nearly an hour. As of now, it does not appear that the child has any injuries, and we're hearing that he is back home safely. We're going to continue to talk to some people in this area and figure out how exactly he ended up there in the first place. Back to you.
We are glad to hear he is back home, but that must have been a pretty scary hour for that kiddo. Thank you, Willie. Right now, Raleigh police are searching for the man they say had a gun when he robbed a bank today. Officers released this surveillance picture of the suspect not long ago. The robbery happened at a First Citizens Bank on Little Briar Creek Lane. That's where officers say the man passed a note to the teller demanding money. The teller complied. He took off with cash. Police in Iredell County are searching for a motorcyclist who ignored a stopped bus that was letting children off. You can see here a little boy jumped back as the motorcycle sped right through the flashing red stop sign. Hard to see. Police say it happened just a couple of hours ago before 3 p.m. on Carlisle Road. The investigation is ongoing there. A Goldsboro mall is back open for business today after shots were fired inside yesterday. Employees tell us they counted more than 10 gunshots. They say the situation started from a fight. Three suspects are facing several charges, including attempted murder. Court documents say they were shooting at each other with handguns. Some shoppers are still, as you can imagine, on edge.
But yeah, I did hear about the incident. It did kind of scare me yesterday because I was just like, dang, that's the first. So like a mall in Goldsboro, that's crazy.
Goldsboro police say they believe all of the primary suspects are in custody, but the investigation is not over. The family of this Durham man has been waiting for justice for almost a decade. Alfredo Hovell was shot and killed in February of 2014. Durham police are asking anyone with information about his death to come forward. WRAL's Monica Casey spoke with his family about the renewed push to solve this case.
28-year-old Alfredo Hovell was shot at this intersection almost 10 years ago in broad daylight. His family is still pushing for justice.
Framed photos and old memories, all Angel Hovell has left of her brother Alfredo.
It's just something I don't think I'll ever be able to get past until this case is solved.
She's just 1 year older than her brother. Hovell describes him as hardworking and giving.
I was with him the day before this happened. He helped me move to Durham.
He left behind a daughter and a son when he was shot and killed on February 1st, 2014.
I just want to keep his memory alive. I want this case solved. I want the killers brought to justice. This happened in broad daylight. He was shot multiple times.
I mean, everybody wants their case solved, you know, and obviously we want to solve it for them.
Durham police investigator Ann Cristaldi has been working on the case for years.
We had numerous witnesses. Everybody saw and heard different things. We did have one individual who believed they saw a black Honda fleeing the scene.
She and Hovell's family urge anyone with information to come forward and bring them closure and justice.
Me and my family, we won't rest until we get it. We're never going to forget him.
In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
And you can reach out to Durham Police or Crime Stoppers anonymously with any information about this case. Crews have repaired a 12-inch gas line on Bragg Boulevard in Fayetteville that was ruptured by a construction crew, but not before dozens of residents were forced to spend the night at a shelter. We're told a subcontractor from Barnhill Construction of Rocky Mount hit the line with a backhoe. Bragg Boulevard was closed between Sycamore Dairy Road and Swain Street. The fire department and Piedmont Natural Gas spent the afternoon going door to door in the area, checking for potential pockets of built-up gas. The shutdown was costly to businesses in the area.
So it's hurting us a lot because, you know, our workers, they want to know when to come back to work. And it's the first of the month. We need to get the money up in and we need to know what's going on.
Sycamore Dairy Road has reopened, but we are told Bragg Boulevard is expected to be closed until midnight. Hundreds of children in our area attended schools built in the 50s, and they're showing their age. Just ahead, how one county's move to consolidate three schools will upgrade the learning environment. Then, Carolina basketball is not a program, it's a family. That's everyone from the players to the fans and the people who stand in between. After the break, they're all remembering a man who has been a fixture at the Dean Smith Center for decades. Tonight, Clayton police are investigating an incident involving Johnston Charter Academy. Parents say something of concern was posted on social media. We checked with Clayton police, who told us no one is in danger. There's no threat to students, but they are investigating the incident. Johnston Charter Academy says it cannot release any details because of that investigation, but the school is cooperating fully with the Clayton Police Department. We will continue to follow this story and bring you any updated information as it becomes available. There could be a big change ahead for Warren County Elementary Schools. The district is considering consolidating three schools into one. School officials tell WRAL they're motivated by poor conditions at the current schools that were built in the 1950s. The school system received a $30 million grant from the state for the new facility. It has now taken the conversation from within the community as the best option with the resources available.
We simply don't have enough resources to go and build three new schools. So we're sharing that information with parents so that they understand some of the why, what our challenges are, and together with the community move forward.
The community will have a chance to weigh in on the proposal. There will be one meeting at each of the three Warren County elementary schools this month. We have details on our website at WRAL.com. Well, we do have some good news about jobs in December. Take a look at the stats here. Employers added 216,000 jobs last month. That beat economists' expectations of 170,000 added jobs. And the unemployment rate held steady at 3.7%. This morning, the UNC Keenan Institute looked at what's ahead for the economy in 2024. Its chief economist says the jobs report showed a continued strong economy. And he says overall, inflation is easing. However, the housing shortage may keep inflation higher than the Fed wants.
Housing is one of those sticky measures where, you know, it takes a lot of time for the kind of these trends to change.
Cohen said the continued economic strength could actually force the Fed to raise interest rates again. He also said uncertainty around this year's elections and other geopolitical issues around the world make it tough to see how the economy will perform this year. Carolina basketball prides itself on being more than a team and fan base, really a community. Within that community is a tight-knit group of ushers who work every home game. This season, they lost one of their own. And as WRAL's Pat Welter shows us, he will not be forgotten.
There are players.
His man Davis, and they have numbers. He takes it to the hole. That's great.
And there are fans. Yeah! Ushers.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Hello, how are you?
Are the gatekeepers in between.
What makes a good usher?
A good usher is somebody who understands what I would call the Carolina way.
At UNC, they're friends.
All the floor ushers know one another.
Stay put, guys. They're coming off.
They're historians.
I mean, 31 seasons, you get to see 31 Duke Carolina games.
They are a family.
A lot of us have been here almost since the Smith Center opened.
John Schleich ushered at the Smith Center for over 30 years.
You want to get him out of the aisles? That'll be great. Just move him over. He was a Marine, so he was tough. He was the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet.
As a floor usher, John called Section 109 home.
Come on, guys. Come on, please. Quickly, please.
This season, he's weighing on every usher's heart.
On the Sweeties box, he is right there.
Alyssa Schleich is John's wife.
He always wore a tie and dressed up.
After serving in Vietnam, John moved to North Carolina to attend college in Chapel Hill. That's when he met Alyssa in an aquarium store.
And he has loved aquariums, and we have had aquariums all of our married life.
A man of many hobbies, his greatest passion was UNC. On October 13th, John ushered UNC's live action to start the season.
He told me after the game that his back was bothering him, so we had to walk back to the parking deck. So I said, I'll see you Tuesday week during our basketball meeting. He said, okay. And that was the last time I got to speak to John.
John was doing his normal drive home down 54 leaving campus. He suffered a stroke while driving and crashed his car right around here near the Friday Center. John passed away at UNC Hospital on October 14th.
He was a good guy. We really, really miss him a lot.
It didn't take long for the Carolina community to rally around John.
I have been overwhelmed with the support from the basketball family.
Hubert Davis's wife, Leslie, made the pins you see on every floor usher's chest.
In some small way, John is, John is still here.
So this was something that I wrote for John.
Patrick Varker wrote a poem.
I said, John, working with you was never a chore. We had each other's backs while working our floor.
Lastly, there will never be a time on any given day that I won't think of you when I have Chick-fil-A.
There will always be a space on the floor for John Schlich.
We miss him every day. I miss him every day. And that's not going to change for a while, I'm sure. But he was well-loved. He really was, and cherished.
Pat Welter, WRAL Sports.
Sure was loved by so many people. The ushers all enjoy a complimentary meal before the game, and John's favorite was, as you saw there, Chick-fil-A. Patrick Varker says he still eats it at every game and thinks of John. Beautiful story. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is tracking our weekend weather as well as another major soaker coming next week.
Yes, we've got a lot to watch. In fact, there's actually total three systems on our 7-day forecast, but two main ones that you need to know about. The first comes tomorrow. It's going to mess up any outdoor plans you have and kind of rearrange your weekend a bit. It's a chilly rain, not a nice day. There will be a small window of time, mainly west of us, where there could be a little freezing rain. None of that around the triangle and really minimal impacts. This is a rain event for us. Tuesday, a completely different story. There could be severe storms, flooding, and also strong winds on top of that. So Tuesday is really going to be a significant storm system. So let's track them both here on Futurecast. Starting this tomorrow morning, you can see that brief window mainly west of us where there could be a little freezing rain. For us here locally, it's mostly freezing rain mostly rain instead of the freezing rain that clears out between about 3 and 5 o'clock. So by the evening, you're good to go if you've got dinner plans. The mountains could see some snow on the backside of this system Sunday morning, and then we're going to be watching Monday as the system moves through the Gulf Coast states, could produce some severe storms. This is Tuesday's system that starts to push in Tuesday morning for us and could last into Tuesday evening and night. Notice this area right here. This may end up being a line of storms. The issue with Tuesday is when you look at the weather models in 3D and you look really high up in the atmosphere, there are winds over 80, even 90 miles per hour, just a couple thousand feet up high. So some of those winds could get carried down to the surface, and there could be winds gusting easily 40 to 50 miles per hour at the surface, and that's even outside of thunderstorms. So it's going to be a wet day, a windy day. There could be strong storms on top of that. It looks like it's going to be a mess on Tuesday. We are already under this highlighted region by the Storm Prediction Center, 5 days out for possible severe weather. You don't see this too often, 5 days out. So we're certainly taking note of that. On top of it, already a medium risk for flooding on Tuesday. 2 to 4 inches of rain will be possible. And we'll be watching it all for you in the coming days. So keep checking in for updates. We just want to give you an early heads up on a high impact weather day. 36 degrees right now in Raleigh, mostly cloudy. After midnight, temperatures are actually going to be going up tonight. Typically, we see temperatures continue to fall after midnight, but as we see the clouds roll in, the moisture roll in, and high pressure, which delivered the cooler air, move away from us, we're going to see temperatures begin to rise out ahead of this rain. So keep that in mind for tomorrow. As we look ahead, make sure you join meteorologist Petey Shearwood tomorrow morning. She'll keep you up to date on some of our northwestern counties like Person County and Mecklenburg County that could see a little freezing rain before 9 a.m. Make sure that you've got the rain gear with you if you are headed out and about through about 5 o'clock tomorrow. You're going to want to have that on hand. Sunday, it's nice and dry, so we recover at least for one day of the weekend. It'll be fairly nice, partly cloudy, upper 50s and breezy. Watching Tuesday closely, and then after Tuesday, we're going to be watching Friday of next week. Certainly a busy El Nino winter pattern for us.
It sure is, Kat. Thank you. Wendell residents will soon have a new option for 24/7 emergency care. After the break, a look at the brand new facility WakeMed Health officially cut the ribbon on today. A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held today at the new WakeMed Wendell Health, giving those who live in Wendell another option for 24/7 emergency care. An estimated 14,000 patients are expected to be treated there this year. That's averaging around 39 patients a day. Carolyn Knopp with WakeMed Health says there is a growing need for emergency care in Wendell, but the closest emergency room to the new location is about 25 minutes away. Now, people can get help closer to home.
We accept ambulance traffic, we accept walk-in traffic, and any emergency that's dealt with at any of our other locations or any emergency room throughout the country, we have to be able to handle those here. So it's state of the art.
The facility will be open to patients next Tuesday. We are still months away from the primary election, but it's time to get out and vote. For Johnston County's I Voted sticker design. Local middle school students submitted designs to be featured on the stickers handed out at polling locations. Johnston County residents can vote on their favorite of 10 finalists online. You can only vote once, and an email address will be required to submit your vote. The winner of the contest will be announced on January 19th and will get a $100 cash prize. A veteran-owned restaurant is bringing its classic Southern dishes with a dose of Cajun flair to Raleigh. Flavor Hills was born in Jacksonville, owned by Marine Corps veterans. Their new location is in the former Wahlberg's Flying Mayan spot on Fayetteville Street. Their brunch and dinner menus feature a variety of soulful classics and contemporary twists. Right now, they're only taking walk-ins until January 7th. Reservations begin on January 8th. Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. Have a great weekend.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.